This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Oh, my show is adult content, sexually explicit material. I don't think I ever really paid attention to that disclaimer at the beginning. Careful, y'all. It's going to get real sex positive tonight. Okay, so we have a great show planned for you. We have a question of the night up on our Loveline IG page, which is, what's the most annoying habit?
Oh,
I can't hear you.
That other couples do.
But go on our page. It's there. There's a lot to hold in this brain, y'all. There's a lot going on up in this head. We'll be talking about workplace burnout, also the Bella Thorne Whoopi Goldberg controversy. Phone lines are always open, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. But right now we're going to open the show with Miss Shira Lazar from
Hi.
Let's Go There. So I was doing the crossover with you, and off air we were having a discussion about something, and I thought it's a really powerful, profound topic, so I wanted to have you sit on and discuss quickly.
Yeah, totally. I appreciate it. So should I just share the story
yeah.
a little quickie?
Let's give context.
So basically, I met someone at a wedding. It was one of those, you know, hot.
I always
heavy.
Love hearing those stories because in my life, I go to so few weddings. I pass on most invites, which is a whole other topic.
Oh, all right.
That's my point. I usually say, I'm good, thank you. But when I have gone, I've never had those movie
moments.
It's so
much fun.
Like,
it's the best.
Banging someone in the laundry room.
We didn't bang, but you know, which anyway. Then, so post this wedding, we had a bit of a whirlwind kind of 3 week connection. Like,
beautiful.
We were talking all the time, sending flowers, cookies to the studio.
He went above and beyond. I mean, I got to call that out. Like, if he is listening, well done, sir. I mean, you had a bad day one day. He sent cookies.
Yeah.
He sent flowers. He's constantly sending you like little videos of
yeah,
him singing
he was just like really giving. And even he would text me like, I don't know why you think this is amazing. Like, this is just what you deserve. And I was just like, oh my God, I finally found someone that sees me. And like, and then you start kind of like, I what was crazy is I didn't have any expectations. And then someone creates the expectations.
Okay, so let's jump in on that. So yes, you know, everything has to be contextualized, and I'm a big fan of people asking the questions to get clarification and not making assumptions.
Yeah.
But often people will want blanket statements, and one of the things I tell them is that people in relationships, especially early on, they form patterns and habits, right? In terms of communication style, how often they communicate, in what ways, with what depth. And if that changes... Yeah, that's a red flag. Something changed.
Yeah. So
honor
he was for 3 weeks pretty much consistent, and it was getting hot and heavy. And it was kind of one of those things, a bit of a flag of like, oh, is this real? Is this guy playing me? Like, a lot of people were like, this is too much. Is he crazy? Is he going to murder you? Blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
Which didn't happen.
Like,
but you know what I mean?
But isn't it interesting when someone presents as hyper romantic and available that people immediately see it as deceptive, manipulative, or pathological?
Yep.
That bums me out.
Pretty
that it's
much.
So rare that we don't want to buy into or believe it.
We're messed up.
We really
so
are.
Basically, he came to LA. He flew to LA to see me. We actually had a really nice weekend. It was pretty intense. It was like hot and heavy. I'm not kidding.
We all know what that means.
Yeah, it was really awesome.
Sweaty and heavy.
We were aware. I think there was a lot of anxiety because we had set so many expectations,
right.
And we had set the bar so high, and there was this reality that we hadn't really hung out together. And I think definitely the last day there were things brought up in terms of like who we are as people, and I guess I felt like I was like, oh, there's obviously we're two different people.
Okay,
but we can. I don't know. I was just open. We didn't set any sort of.
Okay, let me just jump in.
I want to keep
dropping some gems in here.
Yeah, what
you just said is actually phenomenal. I'm glad you do that, because what too many people do is when they're dating, they think that the goal is to be liked or to get someone, and so they start showing up based on what they think that person will want or what will get them. And I tell people, that's not the goal of dating. The goal of dating is to not be liked or to get them, but to be known and to see if we're compatible.
Yes.
And so that's what I think is great about your dating style is you roll in with full authenticity so you can truly assess chemistry and compatibility.
But then I am
what's the alternative?
So,
false selves?
Exactly. I am so open-hearted that I'll go there, but then I'll also be really unapologetically me. And then if they don't like it, they'll quickly go
Good
the
to
other
know.
Direction.
Good to know.
Which I get to work on my self-worth because it hurts when that happens. Because
right.
you saw this person that they saw you and then there's a moment where
let me bring you back, my little ball of sunshine, yes, back to the primary point we want to talk about, which, yes, is this concept of maintenance texting.
So yeah, so what happened is the weekend's over and we ended it really on a high note, mm-hmm, and then I just noticed right away, I don't know, energetically, I was like, I wonder if he's going to, like, tomorrow it'll be the same. He's going to wake me up with a text like, good morning, sunshine, hello, princess unicorn. I mean, I deserve. And then, lo and behold, it didn't happen.
Because if a pattern or habit changes, something has changed.
And yes, so I go, oh my God, like, yeah, what, I'm so, and then I felt dumb. Like, I'm so dumb to, like, have thought that maybe this could continue, or just, like,
no,
at the same time.
I won't allow you to do that. I think people need to allow themselves to celebrate the moment and be in the moment. That is the best part of early,
yeah,
dating, is that crush. Don't remove that in service of trying to be hyper grounded, because you're taking the beauty out of what often exists in the beginning.
The whole thing is, I was enjoying it so much and everyone was saying how unrealistic it was. And then it's kind of like, because of where it's landed in a way, even though it's been like 48 hours, I feel like it's like, oh, see, Shira, it was unrealistic. And then it brings you back to the story of like, oh, it's to find someone like that is like a fantasy and all that.
So let me just keep making this like a topic. So
yes,
the problem wasn't that there was a lot of hyper romance and fantasy in the beginning. That the problem was is that upon spending time together, something shifted,
and now
this person showed up differently, as shown by what's called maintenance texting,
which is
when people literally are doing just maintenance. They're no longer showing up with any depth or true conversation. They're just maintaining.
So Dr. Chris asked me, how's it going with you guys? And I go, can I show you our texts? And this is why I wanted to talk about this. I thought it was so interesting and I think it could help others. Where I go, well, it seems like he's still maybe interested because he's like texting me back. But check these texts. And he's like, oh, yeah, the energy's off. He's maintenance texting you. I was like, what is that? What is a maintenance text?
It's when they're no longer really showing up in an intimate, vulnerable way, trying to learn more about you or really bond. They're just responding. There's no depth. It's topical. It's superficial. It's quick. It's short. It's just maintenance. And that's a sign that they're no longer trying to get to know you or connect. They're no longer trying to build.
I was 3 weeks and I'm still brokenhearted.
So the lesson is, it's time for you to slowly back away or end it or call it out and say, hey, I think the best thing to do is call it. I noticed that things are different now. You seem to be maintenance texting, and our pattern has changed.
Played off.
Yeah. Are you no longer interested? Go right in for the big question.
I did do that last night, and he said, all right, I get it. I need to just move on. I got to get more bench warmers.
What you need to do is book a session in my office, because that's all you get for free on the air, babe.
I appreciate it. Hopefully this helps someone
else. All right, our phone lines are open. Oh, sorry, just poked you. Our phone lines are open, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. When we come back, we're going to be talking about a really big step that the UK just took in terms of the ads that they're allowing to be shown. Listen to Loveline on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On channel Q.
All right, we got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, this one makes me laugh already. What are the habits of other couples that annoy you? It's going to be funny coming from those that are coupled themselves versus those that are single, where everything sometimes just seems annoying when you are single and desperately searching for love. But producer Justin wouldn't understand such things because he is now engaged. And our own little MEQ will soon be engaged as well, thereby leaving me and Samantha on the prowl. That's all right, Sam. I got your back, girl. I know where you're at. Oh, Lord. Okay, so we'll be breaking that on down later in the show, as well as talking about the Bella Thorne Whoopi Goldberg controversy and also discussing and unpacking workplace burnout. But in the meantime, the UK has just done something really fascinating, and I'm curious to really track this and see where this goes, because there's something a little ambiguous about it. But the UK just banned what they're deeming to be sexist ads. Now, that's a really powerful move. Right now, cultural climate, we're talking about, you know, dissolving and moving away from sexism. We're really looking at gender roles, toxic masculinity. I don't know what their working definition is going to be of what's a sexist ad versus what isn't. That's going to be what's most interesting to me. But nonetheless, one of the ads that they were showing that they're targeting, because the ban on advertisements was passed in December. And this past Friday, the ban has gone into place. So more to come. But one of the targeted ads was this billboard, which we are all familiar with. And it says, are you beach body ready? And of course, there's a woman standing there with the traditional gym culture body. basically inherently claiming that that's the only body that's legit to be seen on the beach, where everyone has a beach body. You just got to take the body that you have to the beach, right? But nonetheless, there it is, shaming people as ads do, because sadly, most ads in our culture are about making you feel as though you're not enough. You're not good enough. Instead, you need to buy this look or use makeup or get rid of your acne or go to the gym or eat this thing. Like, it's really about preying on your low self-esteem and not making you feel better, but actually making you feel worse, promising that if you purchase this product, you'll be feeling so much better about yourself, which we know categorically isn't true, that consumer culture is actually quite detrimental to self-esteem, and the work is about actually working on feeling okay exactly as you are. I wish billboards said, you need nothing, buy nothing, you're perfect as you are. But of course, no money's made that way. So the UK has something called the Advertising Standards Authority. I love that. Some of you don't like the fact that I lead with full compassion, aka social justice, but I think that's phenomenal. I think there should be an Advertising Standards Authority, because I think there's something quite problematic and sociopathic about a culture that supports people capitalizing and making money off of making people feel bad about who they are. That's not okay. So anyway, this Advertising Standards Authority is now officially banning ads that depict gender in ways that are likely to cause harm or widespread offense. Again, interesting how they're going to really decide what does and what doesn't. It's going to lead to some interesting debates. But that's gone into play. The chief executive officer has said, and I quote, put simply, we found that some portrayals in ads can, over time, play a part in limiting people's potential. That's stunning. I love that. Limiting people's potential. Limiting their ability to see themselves as healthy, desirable, viable, successful people. That's stunning. So they're examining the way women are portrayed in those ads. And he said, hopefully we'll start to see more women in ads that aren't just for makeup or clothing. Got my support on that, boo. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about an interesting story where a doctor had her medical license taken away for posting bikini pics. Listen to Loveline on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. It's about the habits of other couples that really, really annoy you. Breaking that on down later in the show, as well as talking about the Bella Thorne controversy with Whoopi Goldberg and talking about workplace burnout. But right now, we're going to talk about some topics that really, really get me going. My consistent frustration with people's attempts to police and shame other people's bodies or sexualities, especially women's. So here's a phenomenal story of that, a culture trying to do that. A Myanmar doctor who attempted to leave her role as a physician. She had treated patients for many years at a nonprofit medical group and always wanted to be a model. So at some point in her career, said, you know what, this is about 2 years ago, I'm going to start doing some commercials. I'm going to post some photos of myself on Facebook, modeling in underwear and bathing suits, because that's my dream. And there's nothing inappropriate about that. Well, apparently the medical council did not agree. They oversee the country's doctors and hospitals, and they ordered her to stop posting these images and also to delete them from her page. Now, of course, this isn't in America. This is in another country. So I don't know what their medical board and licensing board is all about. But nonetheless, this topic still exists as policing of someone's behavior, body, and sexuality. She ignored the order, and they informed her that they'd be revoking her medical license. She says, they didn't even call me a model. Instead, they said that I had a behavior disorder. They're claiming she has a behavior disorder because she's posting pictures of herself modeling. Gotta love that one. She said, when I was working as a doctor, I wore the appropriate attire, but now as an adult, I'm trying something else out. I mean, this is amazing. You know, it's rooted in so many issues. Sexism. I doubt that they'd do this to a guy if he was posting pictures of him in board shorts in a bathing suit, right? Also, gotta love the word respectability politics, which is the whole idea that, you know, someone's worth as a person or our ability to see them as competent in their field is tied to their sexuality. This comes up for me. You know, on my social media, there'll be times as an act of body positivity and sex positivity and trying to battle such topics, I'll post pictures of me wearing my baseball cap that says slut on it. I'll post pictures of me in my underwear reading and being like, yeah, I'm a doctor and I'm an academic and I travel the world training doctors and I have books out and I'm in my underwear. I have sex. You know, this is a big debate I had at a training I was giving where some of these doctoral students said to me, our professors are telling us we're not allowed to be on dating apps. And I said, dear God, ignore them. Go on dating apps. I have patients that have seen me on dating apps. And I say to them, yeah, I'm out there living in the world. What is that like to see me? And they usually say 99.999% of the time, congrats. It's awesome to see you out there. I actually feel like you can better understand what I'm going through and navigate the use of such things. You know, there should be no shame in someone recognizing I'm a healthy adult and I like to have sex and I want relationality and I date. So this is a mess. This is also very sex phobic, right? Where they're basically, you know, if she had posted pictures of her playing baseball or with a dog, there'd be no issue. But God forbid you somehow publicly acknowledge that you're sexual or in a body positive, sex positive way, female empowerment. Post a picture in a bathing suit because you want to, you know, because you're comfortable. But somehow you have to lose your license because you're no longer a competent doctor. It's unreal. So here's another story. staying on my soapbox. A bride reached out to one of her guests, not a bridesmaid, one of her guests, and said, in order to come to my wedding, you have to cover your tattoos and dye your hair back to a natural hair color. Pass. Congrats on your wedding. Not going to be there. Congrats on your big day, but it's not my big day, and I'm not going to dye my hair for your big day. People forget that when they throw a wedding. They somehow think it's supposed to be everyone else's most important thing that year or that day, and that they should spend whatever money they have to travel or get a gift or buy a dress. Nah, that's yours. I think when people throw a wedding, they should actually pay for everything. Right? If you want me there, you're inviting me because you want me there. Please don't expect a gift. Invite me because you want me there. And if you want me to wear something, you can pay for it. But what's a kicker is it's in the hottest season. And the woman who posted this story, the one who was shamed, said, they want me to wear a jacket or long sleeves. I'm just a guest sitting at a table. And it's a hot part of the season. I'm not willing to do that. And I thought it was phenomenal that she pushed back. So as I said, she was informed that she had to dye her hair color and had to cover her tattoos to go to the wedding. I mean, this is wild that this is where we're at this point. She said, I have tattoos down both my arms to my wrists. The venue is outdoors and in the hottest part of the year. And she expects me to wear long sleeves or a jacket, not to mention dye my goddamn hair. Like, this kills me. Stop policing people. I'm covered in tattoos. When I lecture, no matter where I'm lecturing, at a professional conference or whatever, I'm rocking all the tattoos out. I let my tattoos go full blast in my office as well. Now, I'm in a position of privilege in some ways to be able to do that, but God bless the person that asked me to cover up my tattoos because I'm attending something. CNN used to do that to me. They would literally be like, please wear long sleeves. Damn you, CNN. I mean, there's so many problems over there anyway, but it was a mess that they wanted to do that. But you know, again, we have to really normalize creativity and diversity. We have to let people, it's an act of mental health to support people in expressing themselves in the way they need to and want to. Oh, we got so much work to do. All right, phone lines are open, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. I'd love to hear stories about when someone tried to police or shame your body or your sexuality. Give us a call. Tell us all about it. When we come back, we're going to be sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
Question of the night's up on our Loveline IG page. It's about things that couples do that really annoys you. Time for our DMs, though. Sliding into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, my girlfriend and I have been together for more than a year. Recently, there was this male friend who admitted that he has feelings for her. Cool. We talked about this and she told me how sorry she felt for him and that she will stay away from him so his feelings could vanish. A couple of months later, they're still talking and she's commenting on his pic on Instagram with a heart emoji. Scandal. Honestly, this is kind of bothering me. Yeah, I get it. What should I tell her? Am I ridiculous for reacting this way? Not to mention that she's been kind of distant lately. Whenever I try to talk to her about these types of things, she always shuts down and guilt trips me for asking. What do you think the best option is? Well, yeah, you got to talk about it. I'm always about vulnerable conversations, the difficult ones to have, especially if you want a really healthy relationship, because there's always going to be things to talk about. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting that someone reports interest in your girlfriend and then she's come. I mean, look, here's the thing. Social media, the whole point of social media is social interaction. So we follow each other. People comment on each other. So there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I don't want to lean in terms of what we call toxic monogamy, where, you know, your partner's not allowed to comment on people's posts or follow people. Like, you got to get over that part. But this person in particular, I don't know why she's posting hearts when they've professed interest in love. I mean, that's just not kind, right? That would be called her leading him on or her instigating his interest or her keeping it alive. So that's just not nice. So I don't know that you should be threatened as much as you should point out, like, wow, that's not really going to help him get over you. And if that's your goal, that's not the way to do it. Like, what's that about? I would enter the conversation from that point, less accusatory and jealous. Because again, if you're in a relationship with someone who you trust, then there should be nothing to worry about. She could be posting whatever emojis she wants. Also, how do you know that she's doing that? Oh, I know how you know. You're policing and looking at what she's liking. Stop doing that. Like, the goal in the new year is for us to all to be adults and trust each other and to be looking at what your plus one and loved one is liking and commenting. That's you being very anxious. And clearly you've been doing that and that's how you found this. And so the question is, why are you doing that? If you don't trust her, you need to talk about that or leave or work on your trust issues. Because that's my first question is, you're doing things that you found that. Cool. There you go. All right, here we go. Here's another one. Hey, Dr. Chris, yesterday I had to go to the emergency room for a mental health event. I'm starting the process of getting on an antidepressant and attending therapy, but yesterday got pretty wild and my assistant head of department had to drive me to the ER during work. I recently went on a date with a girl, but I don't know how to move forward with her. I'm not back to my optimal level and I don't know if I should tell her what happened or just leave her in the dark and try to force myself back up when I'm around her. This is a pretty big thing that happened and we're pretty casual. So any advice? Yeah, this is really a tough one. Because again, I am a fan in early dating of us withholding, sharing really deep, truly triggering things. People have to earn their right to such intimacy and depth. Early dating is about connecting and sharing things, but talking about, you know, our past addiction or maybe things are triggering, like having been in prison, or I don't even know what it might be, but those are things people earn. And once they get to know us, they may be willing to work through that. If we divulge these things too soon, it's usually our anxiety and our need for acceptance, and they don't know us, and so they're not willing to stick around. But if you're struggling this deeply where you had to go to the emergency room for mental health and then recently your department head had to drive you to the ER, you're probably not in a place to be worrying about or focusing on someone else and their feelings in a relationship. And so I might send them a loving text letting them know, hey, I think you're great, enjoyed spending time with you, but I have some priorities in my life that I need to focus on. When I'm feeling more available, I'll circle back. And if interested, I'd love to take you out. So I think you should do that. Sliding into DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore it with confidence. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Bella Thorne Whoopi Goldberg scandal, leaked nudes. Listen to Loveline on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
Sure is. Where's the Love? That's a good song for this show. We should, Loveline should only be playing songs related to like sex and love, which is pretty much every song when you really think about it, right? All right, question tonight's up on our Loveline IG page. So, controversy bouncing around. Bella Thorne tears up after Whoopi Goldberg blasted her on The View for her leaked nudes. The model and actress hit back at Goldberg in a series of emotional Instagram stories. Basically, what happened was during an episode of the talk show, Goldberg claimed that Bella Thorne shouldn't have taken the photos anyway. This goes back to when Bella Thorne had her phone hacked and actually blackmailed around the photos. So she clapped back at Whoopi, and we're going to hear a little audio.
You're so happy because I can only imagine all of the kids who have their released and then they commit suicide. And, you know, you're so crazy for thinking such terrible things on such an awful situation. Like, you know, I don't really want to go on The View anymore because I don't really want to be beaten down by a bunch of older women for my body and my sexuality. I don't really feel like that. And so,
well said though, you know, beaten down by, I don't know where the age part comes in the older women, but beaten down by other human beings for my body. You know, here's the thing. Look, people have a lot of different thoughts about sexting, sharing of nude photos. The bigger topic isn't whether or not you think it's a good idea. It happens. Like, let's just go there. It happens. It's normal. It's a new form of courtship. I have a lot of opinions about it. I don't think it's a bad thing. I really do think we need to learn how to encounter nudity. The work isn't about moving backwards and getting more sex phobic and body phobic and covering up. Like, no one's been traumatized by seeing nudity, period, end of story. There's so many research projects showing that it doesn't have a detrimental effect. We have to learn how to see our bodies and other people's bodies. That's life. And it's a form of courtship. So what Whoopi did is what a lot of people do, and it's really sad when women do it to each other or anyone does it to anyone, is she victim blamed her. You know, Bella sent her photos to someone who she trusted as an adult, a consenting adult in a consenting relationship. There's nothing wrong with that. I recommend couples do that to flirt and to court. Sexting is a big part of me assessing my sexual compatibility with someone. And her phone got hacked. Let's talk about the hacker. Let's blame the hacker. Let's blame the abuser. Let's blame the guy that took her photos and blackmailed her. That's who we should be talking about, not targeting Bella, the victim. That is gross to me, right? Don't shame people for engaging in consensual adult behavior. Shame the people that take advantage and misuse that. And so that totally bums me out. We've talked about on the show before, you know, if you're going to share photos, do your best to protect yourself, which means don't show your face, don't show distinguishing things. I'm covered in tattoos. God bless. I'm surprised my videos and photos haven't leaked. And if they do, I'll send out more and hope everyone enjoys. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, my competence remains. I'm still a successful doctor with tons of books and my career will flourish. But Bella did not feel that way. She felt abused. She felt harassed. She felt traumatized. And a lot of people do. To have your naked photos posted publicly without your consent is traumatizing. Talked about this as well. We now have revenge porn laws, which makes it illegal. And I'm thankful for that. That the person who took or posted her photos, it carries jail time and fines. Every city, I forget how many have passed right now, but Oregon passed one, New York, California. So they're all getting on board, and that's going to slowly start to shift. But more importantly, stop shaming people for being confident in their sexuality and their bodies. Come on. We have to stop slut-shaming people. So Whoopi's uncomfortable with sexuality in her body. Pull together. Like, if Whoopi was out there dating and maybe in a younger age bracket, she'd understand that this is normal, a part of courtship. And this is just showing that you're out of touch with what's going on in the world. Ugh. Stuff grosses me out. I'm sorry to hear that. But anyway, Bella, you got our support. Here at Loveline, we value your body autonomy and your sexual empowerment. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about workplace burnout. What are the signs and the expanded definition? You're listening to Loveline on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back and we're sitting down with Nick Mora, Loveline's pop culture guru. Nick, what's going on in celebrity world?
Dr. Chris, you know that I'm a huge reality TV junkie, right?
as much as you can get, right?
As much as you can get. I'm literally addicted to The Real Housewives. And so today's story is...
Wait, which
right
city is your favorite?
Alley.
Really quickly, which one do you like the best, city-wise?
New York City.
Really?
It's definitely my favorite. I love Bethany. I can't. I love her.
Oh, she's still on the show?
She's still on the show.
Wow.
And I love Carol, but she left, so she's not on this season. But I think New York is definitely, it takes the cake for me. I got to go against my hometown of Beverly Hills, but
yeah.
New York takes the cake.
All right. I'll have to check it out. I haven't watched that show in decades.
Well, today's story is actually about one of the Real Housewives of OC stars. Megan King Edmonds is married to baseball player Jim Edmonds, and she was recently spotted without her wedding ring. And this all comes after news that Jim was caught having an affair on his wife while she was pregnant with twins. So here's the thing, Dr. Chris. He claims he never touched another woman, but did admit to sexting and having a lapse in judgment.
When? When did that happen?
While she was pregnant. Yeah, while she was pregnant, he was sexting another girl. Megan takes it as him having an affair. I have so many questions because... is sexting considered cheating?
All right, let me drop some gems on this because this is actually a really, really important topic and very current because, again, technology has given us a lot of access to a lot of other people in a lot of different ways and we can be very covert. Is sexting cheating? I want every single couple, when they decide to be exclusive, to not assume monogamy. I'm saying this to every couple I work with. Don't assume monogamy. You have to have a talk about it. And then you have to discuss, what are we deeming to be monogamy?
You have to discuss what counts and what doesn't count because there are loopholes. And some people make mistakes. And so is sexting cheating? That depends on the couple. I work with some couples where they're like, look, if you want to exchange photos, have at it. Just don't meet up with anyone. They consider it kind of harmless. So every couple has to decide from the stells. There's no overarching answer for that. And I want couples to have that talk. I've asked some couples, what do you guys define as cheating? And they're like, oh, well, we just assume. No, don't assume anything. Because for some people like me, I'm very comfortable with people engaging in all sorts of things depending on what we choose. And I don't make the same assumption about everyone. And so if I haven't talked it out with someone, I'm feeling very free to engage in my total sexuality whenever I want until we've had conversations about it. And so that's for every couple to decide. I don't weigh in on that, but I do weigh in on, have you had the talk? And then if you have and you've chosen to do it anyway, I just really want to kind of understand what that's about for you.
Can a couple recover after cheating?
So can a couple recover after cheating? Yeah, 100%. You know, I tell couples that cheating is not a reason to break up. It's a reason to absolutely come together and talk about the current state of your marriage or relationship, what's working, what's not working, and what that was about. And so before anyone immediately goes to breaking up or divorce, I want people to sit down and talk first. People are a little too comfortable in our culture saying, once a cheater, always a cheater, or if someone cheats, you got to get rid of them. None of that's true. People make mistakes. And again, the cheating rate is about 60 to 70%, it's expected statistically that someone cheats. Monogamy is very difficult and so is marriage. And so I want it to be a learning moment. And the couples I work with, they become stronger. They get more honest with themselves and with each other. And absolutely, you can recover from cheating. And again, sex can get better, intimacy can get better, trust can get stronger because it's a symptom of something. And I want people to really look at, well, have I not been taking my commitment seriously? Have we not addressed sexual issues? Am I no longer in love? You know, do I need to recommit? Whatever needs to be changed, because cheating's a symptom of something, and healthy people and healthy couples want to understand what it's a symptom of, what's going on with that person or the two of us, that this was the solution that was chosen. It's a horrible solution. It damages a lot of people and a lot of relationships. There's so many solutions, but I want to really understand why that was the one chosen. And so absolutely, yes, couples can recover, and they should first do the work of making sense as to why it happened and figure that out.
So, Dr. Chris, also another question. We've been hearing more and more about men having affairs when their wives are pregnant, and I wanted to know why you think this could be the case.
All right, so men having affairs while their wives are pregnant, it's not uncommon. And a lot of it's built from the idea that a lot of men feel ignored while a woman's pregnant, when they first give birth. You know, a lot of the affection and attention that went to them and is available to them is no longer available. Some guys will feel entitled to cheating at that time, or they'll feel somehow like they have a lot more access to cheating because they have a lot more solo or alone time. But whatever the reasoning is, it's an interesting sociological, psychological moment where, yeah, that can happen. I mean, the workplace is actually the number one place where a lot of this happens, but during a time of pregnancy. But that's why I remind couples, you know, during any transitional shift in your marriage or life, that's a time to always look at what might the impact of this be on my relationship. Because again, we really look at our relationships as something that, you know, can run on autopilot, and they can't. And so if you lose a job, I want you to also think, how might this be negatively impacting my relationship? If a loved one in your life dies, how also might this impact my relationship? Being pregnant, how might this impact my relationship? And really making sure you're looking and addressing that. Because again, you can't ignore your relationship and somehow just think that it's going to be on its own, running healthily, getting the attention it needs. It doesn't, and it can't. And although other priorities are going to come up that need most of our time and attention, and I fully support that, we do want to always look at the impact that everything's having on our partner if we're in a relationship. Because we're in a truly healthy and attached relationship. Whatever you're going through also has a trickle-down and secondary impact on our partners, regardless of their gender, and we need to really address that and talk about that. And so ask your partner, you know, how's my pregnancy impacting you? How has me dealing with the loss of my father impacting you? How is my unemployment impacting you and our relationship? It's all about more dialogue, more intimacy, more vulnerability. So keep checking in, having that conversation, because again, in a healthy relationship, everything impacts both parties. It's a system. So there you go, guys. All right, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we'll be breaking down our question of the night. So still a few more minutes to go on our Loveline IG page and hit us up with your answers. You're listening to Loveline on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, y'all. It's time for question of the night. All right, tonight's question is about all the things you see couples doing, their little couples habits that those couples do that annoys us. Got a lot of good ones here, though. Every now and then I know the questions are going to trigger people. Here we go. Complaining to me about each other. Ah, yes. We call that triangulation. Send them back to themselves, right? Say, don't pull me in. Take that to your part. I want to hear about it. Things that couples do that annoy us when they're both on their phones and not enjoying each other's company. It's hard to watch that sometimes. I've been out and watched dates where they're both on their phones and I'm thinking, what a horrible, horrible relationship or date where instead of spending time with each other, you are buried in your phone. I'll tell you a story. I went on a first date once, maybe it was like a second date, first or second date. It was in the first three of dates. And we went to see this exhibit and I was really excited. It's at my favorite photo exhibit space. It's called the Annenberg Photo Space Center. For those that are going to visit LA, it's stunning. It's kind of buried in the Miracle Mile area between these buildings. You have to kind of like dig around and find it. Anyway, stunning space. There we are, wandering around. I'm in awe of the photos of this famous photographer. And I look over and my date is just nonstop on their phone, not connecting with me, not looking at the art. And I thought, wow, this will never work. You know what I mean? Like, you got all this right here and you're ignoring it. You got all that and you're ignoring it. What more do you need?
Hey. You needed a drink.
That's right. All right. Nonetheless, here we go. Other things that couples do that annoy. Someone said codependency. I'm all about codependency. I've already said this. I'm all about codependence. I like backpack style dating. You're always hanging from me, everywhere with me as much as possible. Don't hate. Don't hate. Someone else said what they hate about couples is when they try to set me up with one of their other single friends. Thanks, but no thanks. That happens here on Loveline to Dr. Chris. There's been a decent number of guests. I'm not going to name any names. Thankfully, that have been like, yo, off air. They're like, Dr. Chris, I think you do really well with my best friend. I want to set you up. It has yet to do well. But I'm complimented. Thank you. I'm thankful everyone thinks I do well with their friends, I think. Okay, things, habits of other couples that annoy. Someone said, how do others find bickering endearing? Stressful to me when people low-level argue over everything. Stresses me out too, especially if you're hanging out with a couple and they're just like fight, 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 and you're like, damn. Somebody else said being cocky. Huh, I never heard that really said about a couple, that they're being cocky. Okay. Somebody else said PDA while I'm trying to have a conversation with one of them. That is the worst. And I forgot about that. You are trying to have a conversation and they have their partner like swinging from them, kissing them, trying to make out them, touching them. And you're like, really? Right now? Ugh. Trying to drop gems on them. You're getting in the way. Other annoying habits of couples that irritate you the most, making themselves look perfect on social media, but you know them personally and they fight all the time. That is funny. Just me and my babe having an awesome trip and you're with them on the trip and all they've done is slam doors and fight. You're like, lies. When couples have heated arguments in public and have no regard that people can hear and are staring. Agreed. I don't need to see that mess. I'm just sitting here trying to have my coffee. You know what I mean? Like, take that to the bathroom or the alley. Someone else said oversharing on social media. I'm with you. Someone said, I know a couple that shares the same toothbrush and I've been freaked out ever since. I mean, I think in theory, I don't like the idea, but I can see where logically you've had a lot of them in your mouth. So like, what's the difference between sticking a toothbrush of theirs in there? I mean, really think about it. Samantha, you do it one time?
I would do one brush.
Why only once? What would that be about for you?
Like if I forgot my toothbrush or something?
Yeah, I feel like I would just go get a toothbrush of my own. I just don't know that I'd be like, here I am brushing with your toothbrush. Yeah, even though I've had various parts of you in my mouth, like, don't need that in there. You know what I mean? I'm also really weird about sharing food. Sticking with the same conversation, like I'll have your tongue and body parts in my mouth, but if you're like, here, have a bite of this, I'm like, nah, I'm good. Especially if they've clearly bitten into it and I'm gonna bite like one of those, I can't explain it, but yeah. They're about my, yeah, the bite mark. I ain't getting in on that. But I'll put your foot in my mouth. You know what I mean? Go figure. Arousal really drops inhibitions and makes you do all sorts of stuff. That's what that is. That's what that speaks to. Because if you were going to stick your toothbrush in my mouth during sex play, I'd probably be all about it. You know what I mean? Just not while not eroticized. Anyway, you're learning a lot about me tonight. So annoying habits couples have done that irritate you. More examples of excessive PDA. I kind of see that. Public fights, again. Oh, wow. This is funny. I hate when couples sit on the same side when out to eat. Yeah, I've kind of done that before, and then I do engage in that PDA that annoys people, so I'm doing like the double whammy, so I get it. I get it. Talking about their private lives, intimate stuff in public. Oh, this is funny. Someone said it's disturbing when couples talk to each other in baby voices. Yeah, I hate couples that use the word babe all the time. We're like, babe, da-da-da, babe, babe, babe. And it's like, we get it. We get it. Stop with the babe.
I feel like it's over babage.
Somebody else said, I could do without constant PDA. Finishing each other's sentences is weird, especially when it's forced. I don't know that I see that often. Yeah. All right. Anyway, annoying habits other couples do that irritate you. I hate when couples constantly whisper to one another. Someone said, I find it very annoying and rude when people complain about their significant other online, like in a Facebook post. The world does not need to know you're having issues at home. Agreed. 100%. That's actually a red flag for potential future partners or even friends that this person doesn't understand boundaries and publicly shames people. Like, that's a mess. Like, I'll say this to nauseam. How people end their prior relationship should be a sign to you of their health. And so ask how they ended their last relationship. And if you're seeing people posting horrible comments about their exes, beware. Beware. That's horrible. Deal with your disappointment in a more private, mature way. Most annoying habits of other couples, constant social media hype. I've never been big on that. I was never in my relationships a big fan of posting tons of pictures and going on and on about people I'm dating. I personally wasn't. But I think also because I have a large media following, well, not huge, but big enough where I just didn't want to really bring people into it in that way. People are nasty. They comment. They say stuff. Like, I don't need to know your thoughts about the people I'm dating. But I guess I'm asking for that if I'm posting a photo because you're like dangling it.
Yeah.
Anywho. Anything more than holding hands and pecking in public is too much. Here's another one. I get immediately annoyed when my friend asks her boyfriend for permission to do anything. You should. She can't even go out with me to a bar without checking with him first. I agree. Ridiculous. That's what we call toxic monogamy / emotional abuse. No one owns you. Not even a committed marital relationship. No ownership. Y'all. Live your lives. Fly free. Fly free. Okay, when we come back, we're sliding into the DMs, listening to Loveline on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On channel Q.
I guess we're back. We'll be right back. We meant like right back right now. That's what happens. Don't be mad at it. Just making sure y'all are listening. Testing you all. All right, y'all. It is that time. Time for some DMage.
Hold on.
Time to slide into them jams. Oh, yes. Sliding into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world. And we want y'all to explore that bad old world with some confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, I'm a little weirded out because my boyfriend has been sending me, more like spamming me, with love texts lately at night when I'm asleep. Wow, that must be rough, getting love notes from someone while you're sleeping. Like, I wake up in the morning having received on my phone 15 texts. Okay, now you're clarifying. Thank you for the clarification. I'll wake up having received 15 texts from him saying, I love you, I miss you, a heart emoji, a kiss emoji. He's only been doing this for the past 2 days. I think he's up drinking. I'm going to be dead honest with you. Weird part is he's never really been into texting much before. That's why I find it strange. Me too. I think he's drunk. Should I be worried about this? Is a sign of something? No, I think he's drunk. What is someone doing up that late at night, firing off 15 texts in a row? Yeah, I think he's drunk. That's the only time I'm doing something like that, right? Am I right? I mean, I don't think he's lapsing into some state of psychosis. It's interesting that he never texts you otherwise and only does it at late hours of the night. That's my point.
What if he is that clingy?
That he only does it while they're sleeping? Hey, okay, so Samantha's saying maybe he's that clingy. Where during the day you're available, he can see you, so no need to do so. But while you're sleeping, he's up all night just expressing love and missing you.
Nowhere,
out of nowhere. Yeah, it is weird. I think it's because he's drunk. He's drinking. But again, no, you know, take the text. So it is. I'm happy to wake up to 15 love notes from people. I am mad. There's a lot of people that wishes they could get one. You got 15. Don't be greedy. All right, here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, my girlfriend and I live 70 miles away. We spend every weekend with each other, Friday through Sunday night, and some weekdays. Awesome. Been dating for 7.5 months. At about 6 months, she asked me to move in with her. Told her that I wasn't ready for it, and that's not as simple as it would be if we lived closer. She says far enough away that I would have to change jobs. Yep, it's a big deal. Over the last few weeks, she's brought it up at least a dozen times. Wow, and we're having arguments about it. If I say that I'm not ready for that step, she sees it as me not being committed to her. Toxic monogamy. The other day, I offered to move closer to her, about 45 miles away, and get an apartment near the train station. I could take the train to work and therefore keep my job. I'd be 45 minutes from her, unlike the current 90, but she wasn't for it. She wants to move in. Is she being completely irrational? Yes, she is. And then your other question was, am I being insensitive to her needs? No, you're not. You've been dating for 7 months, which for some people it's a long time, for others it's not. You'd have to leave your job. Like, that's a big deal. I actually think she's being a little disrespectful. Like, she's not having to do anything. She wants you to move in with her. She gets to keep her jobs, her friends, her familiarity, her comfort. She wants you to give all that up. Tell her that you're happy to live together. She'll move in with you and leave her job and move in the other direction. Let's see how open to that she is. Because I don't like the idea of people doubting people's level of commitment when they won't do what they want. Right? Because your commitment isn't based on your willingness to not disappoint your partner. We can love someone, be very committed, and let them down and disappoint them because we set boundaries and we take care of ourselves. And that's what you're doing. At 7.5 months, I don't know that you should feel at any point if you don't want to leave your job or move, you shouldn't have to. But that the right framework isn't, are you committed? It should just be, are you comfortable doing that? And if she cares about you, she would respect that and say, yeah, it's a lot to ask. And I don't hear her saying, I'll meet you halfway. We'll move somewhere in the middle. It just sounds like the onus is on you to do the heavy lifting. And it's being framed as, you know, you would do it if you're committed to me. So that's a red flag. You're not being insensitive. I think it's definitely irrational. So you have my support in saying, I'm just not there yet. It's too big of an ask. But if she wants to do it, let her do it. Let her move next door. You know, get an apartment down the block. All right, Science DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. That is our show. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern. You guys have an awesome, awesome, awesome night. Good night.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.